September 6, 2016, here's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Why someone like you would be cruel?
Walk for Pedro show in Pedro, but at my pad. I think next week I'm going to get reunited with Brother Matt because he's got the new teaching schedule. I'm not totally man alone, though, because via the magic of Skype, I've got my guest for this edition, Lydia Lovelace. where are you from? Calling from talking right now?
Yeah, I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
And so that's where you're using the magic of Skype.
Yes.
You know who's from Columbus, Ohio is Ed from Ohio. He was actually from Toronto, a little town by the Pennsylvania, but he went to school because Columbus is a big school town.
Yes, it is.
And so he's the other famous guy. I know a couple people. That band, Skrull.
Yeah.
Right. I toured with them. Did gigs with them.
I know those gals.
I think one of them has a pad. Maybe Marcy?
Yeah, Marcy has a bar. I'm playing my record release show there on Thursday.
Oh, wow. Well, say hi.
I will.
It's been a long time, but I met them through Ed from Ohio. We started the show off with the theme from John Coltrane and Miles Davis live, and then Lydia Lovelace from her new record, a tune called Out on Love. And Lydia, what's your oldest music memory?
My oldest music memory is, I mean, other than like creepy church hymns.
Oh, that's a memory. That's a memory. I'm just curious because I've talked to a lot of people about their journey through music, and they're all different.
Yeah.
Lots so of you're remembering hymns in church.
Yeah. And like playing piano in church and all that good stuff. Just how hard it is to sing those hymns, too.
Wow. You mean you learned piano young?
Yeah. I started taking lessons when I think I was like 7 when I started.
Was it your idea?
Yeah, because my sisters did, and I was like, oh,
you had music
too.
You had music in the pad.
Yeah.
So your sister's lady.
I kind of never got good at piano.
What
so.
About your parents? Did your parents play?
My dad's a drummer.
Oh, your daddy's a drummer?
Yeah.
Righteous.
My mom, not so much.
Okay. But you had music in the house, and then, yeah, at the church. Your sister was a piano player?
Yeah, I have two older sisters, and they both took piano.
Wow, okay.
I kind of wanted to
was
do that
in the
too.
House.
Yeah.
And so the first music you played was, yeah, of course, stuff that the teacher... Did you have a mean teacher?
I don't know if I would say mean. She probably had every right to be, because I never fucking practiced.
No practice.
So...
No, but, I hear this a lot teacher. About piano teachers.
Yeah.
Some people have such bad experience, they want to quit music.
Yeah, I mean, I realized pretty quickly that I didn't like piano, but I was stubbornly like trying to cling to it because I didn't want to think that I sucked at anything. But she told me to learn violin, so that was probably the meanest thing she ever said to me.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
To quit and take violin lessons.
Well, maybe something like follow your heart or something. I mean, there's something
yeah,
about
I think that's
putting
probably.
Your passion.
Yeah.
Do you remember what about getting records? Do you remember the first record you bought?
The first record I bought, oh, God. It
well, you had older sisters, so they probably was playing you music.
Yeah, I think the first record I bought was the first Gorillaz album. So.
You mean the England band?
Yeah, like the cartoon band.
Yeah, right. That became the video band. That's kind of
yeah.
gone. But I guess...
I think it was
okay.
like 11.
So, but you went and bought it. Why? Because you
it just felt like nobody else in my family was listening to stuff like that, I guess. So I felt like cool, and because I have a big family and they're all pretty intensely into music, so I was like, oh, no one's listening to this. I'll just be cool and listen.
It'll
to
be
this.
Mine. It won't be
yeah.
all yours. Yeah. Your identity. You're driven to
yeah.
form an identity. Interesting. What about at school? Did you do any music at school, like the band, or?
I was actually homeschooled, so I never really did anything like that.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have the social the Lord of the Flies experience.
No, I missed out on all that. Not, it was kind of Lord of the
Flies. Maybe not a bad thing. look, we're going to play this song here, Real. No, Longer.
Okay.
But can you tell me about that, too?
Longer is a poppier song for me to write, and it's about actually my friend who passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, shit.
I wrote that one for
I'm
him.
Sorry.
So, not to be all downer.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen.
Thank you. circles around their body. Raise it to the neck like a maypole dancer. If he's a not nice man, mommy, if he's a depraved man, mommy, I walk in circles around their body. Raise it to the neck like a maypole dancer. The hospital that's to go. 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 The hospital that's to go.
Dun 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 d What we need.
For Pedro Show. That was Longer from Lydia Lovelace. And then brand new from Alex Zhang, Hongtai, Entrance Departure. He's got a new cassette out. That's trippy to say. He's got a new cassette out. I like that people are using the old forms.
Yeah.
Lemon Kittens, The Hospital Hurts the Girl. I found my own Lemon Kittens music that I hadn't heard for 30 years. And I've been playing that. Petra Hayden with Frame by Frame. A cappella movie theme, inspired Driven Pet. El Sonio de Marinaio with Flame. That's got Angus from the Liars with us. This is me and my two Italian friends. We're going to start a tour in a couple of weeks in Europe. So I got to be practicing the music up. Now, Dagger Moth, Silk Around the Morrow, we get to play with her in Bologna. Experimental guitar. Pop group, brand new, well, maybe a few months old. Immaculate Deception. Alice's song from Nervous Gender, that's Alice Bag. That's first punk gig me and D. Boone saw was The Bags. And she just put out a solo record. And then finally, Very Be Careful, live, the Ayero del Tiempo. Back with Lydia Loveless. So, homeschool, you don't have to deal with the Lord of the Flies sitch. and there's a lot of music, so that, a lot of competition in a way for you to get your own identity. So, these are good motivators. Do you remember writing your first song?
I remember writing a lot of weird, crappy songs as a kid, like playing with my siblings too. I remember we had like a fake radio show called Psychotic Country Music where we would make up just like ad-libbing country songs.
Oh yeah, well you learned guitar, right?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
It took me a long time, but I mean a lot of like just strumming open strings and singing.
Was there a guitar in the pad?
Yeah, my oldest sister played guitar.
Okay.
And my mom had like a giant dreadnought that I could not play very well. But I started playing bass when I was like...
Oh, really?
18.
Bass?
Yeah, and that's kind of what helped me.
Was there a bass in the pad?
Well, it was mine because my older sister started a band and they were like, we need a bass player. And we lived in like the middle of nowhere, so it made sense to just have me kind of learn.
What was his band called?
It was called Carson Drew.
Carson Drew, all right. Did you guys make recordings?
Yeah, we had one EP called Under the Table.
Yeah, I got to hear that. So, and you're the bass player?
Yeah.
Wow. And so you move over to guitar. You guys have this kind of fake country radio show? So you're writing songs for that?
Yeah, and that was pretty brief.
Kind of yuck yuck, ha ha.
Yeah. The band...
Kind of like, what was that show? Hee Haw. Do you remember?
Yeah,
Hee-haw?
It was kind of Hee-haw, deranged Hee-haw.
Roy Clark and yeah. String Bean. I remember. So did that do Carson Drew do any gigs?
Yeah, we toured a couple times. It was pretty close to home stuff.
Ohio.
Yeah.
I think the only state was pennant. You guys don't have a real flag. Your flag is a pennant.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's very original. Okay, so you're still in your sister's kind of world and stuff. So when do you make a break to do your own thing?
I think when I was about 15, I started writing my own songs.
And not the goofy ones, like...
Yeah, trying to be a little more serious. I mean, I still was pretty goofy just because I was an idiot teenager, but, like, I was trying to be a little more refined. And I started writing basically country songs by myself. And I started performing out when I was like 16.
Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was that like?
It was terrifying.
Yes, I can imagine.
I mean, it was really easy to just play bass and like...
Being
I was never really that
band,
much of a
right.
showman. Yeah, I just...
Now all the focus is turned on you.
Yeah. And I always wanted to write and perform, but I didn't realize that I did not really want to be the center of attention at all. So that was kind of a wake-up call.
Do you remember the first gig?
My first gig was, I think it was like a, must have been at Bernie's, this bar in Columbus that's been torn down recently. But there was like one homeless dude yelling at me, and then like all my friends had gone outside to like, drink underage in the alley. So was that the greatest?
Was this like a high street place?
Yeah, it was on high street.
People, you might not know Columbus, but a lot of the stuff that happens there is on high streets right across from the school.
Yeah.
And, that's the first time I played Columbus was on high street.
Yeah.
They tore that down, too. It was
Do you remember
Stashes.
Where? Oh, well, Stashes, was, okay.
Yeah, it was down. It wasn't on the... I don't know. It moved, right?
Yeah, it turned into Little Brothers, and
that's right.
No longer, too.
And yeah, that's no longer, but the building's still there, right? I think the other one, the building they tore down. Yeah. Anyway, so you had an audience of one homeless dude yelling at you. And no support from your buddies because they're drinking.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
So how was that experience like? Boy, I want to do more of this.
I think it was good for me. It gave me realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Okay. Why doesn't anyone care? It was kind of like, oh, thank God no one's in here.
So you had to learn how to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like vaudeville.
I mean, it took me a while.
Yeah. So, you actually was, because of playing bass in your sister's band and doing some tours, you did have some gig savvy. It was just not being in that situation.
Yeah, it just wasn't like having to command the whole audience.
Right. Well, what about recording?
Recording, I mean, I had recorded a lot with Carson Drew.
Yeah, but on your own.
But when I started, recording on my own, that was kind of a obviously totally different experience, too. I started recording, like, at this studio, I think it was called Blue Moon, that I was, like, interning at, sort of. And that kind of gave me some experience with just doing stuff by myself and figuring out how I wanted it to sound, and then started making a record when I think I was, like, 16.
Yeah, so you weren't like, at home, I got to find the right producer. You wanted to do it yourself.
Yeah, at first. Yeah. And my first record did end up, you know, a producer came in, and it was kind of, I ended up not really enjoying being sort of told what to do, but I also didn't know what I was doing, so it was good for me, same time.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely suck at being told what to do quite often. So.
But you started learning studio stuff.
Yeah.
And the intern, you worked with other musicians also.
Yeah, a little bit. I never really super got great at that just because I hated the engineer so much that I didn't get to advance very far, but I did enjoy being in the studio and getting to mess around with that.
Yeah. Now, did you bring stuff prepared or did you try writing in the studio?
No, I never really tried writing in the studio. Yeah. I probably should have when I had the opportunity.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because it would be nice, a nice skill to have, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe one day.
Because, you know, nowadays it's so much more econo to record. In the old days, we had to kind of do that because...
Yeah.
But I remember Minutemen, we would record in order, so we didn't spend time, putting them in sequence, like they were gigs in front of microphones.
That's awesome.
Man, even the tape, I remember it was $150 for 15 minutes.
God.
Yeah, and that's not the time, you know, that's just the tape.
So, yeah, it's so much easier now.
Yeah, so, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think it was so good. Being all expensive like that stuff.
The good old days.
Yeah, and when people see that, man, they should really think about it. But they don't. I think they only want to remember. Well, what's even funnier is people who weren't even from those days and they're telling you about it.
Yeah, it's great to get that lecture. The sound quality, more.
Like the warm feel. Okay, so what about going out on your own, touring on your own?
Yeah, I started doing that when I was, like, I guess probably 18. Started touring around.
And what, you just get in the car with your guitar?
Yeah, well, with my dad was playing drums for me at that point.
Wow!
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that was really helpful.
So what, it's guitar and drums?
Yeah, it was just me and drums.
And that poor lonely kick drum. No bass could wrap the arms around. Yeah, no hugs from the bass. Poor lonely. When I hear these bands without bass players, I hear the poor lonely kick drum.
It does drive me nuts now, and it's funny because for so long when I was younger, I was like, oh, I don't care.
You didn't notice it, right?
Yeah, which is funny because I am a bass player, so you would think it would have driven me fucking crazy, but...
I think you got to develop a thing, because I remember, you know, when I met D. Boone, he only knew Creedence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're going to learn all these Creedence songs. I couldn't tell what the fuck that guy was playing. I couldn't hear it. So I just thought, well, if I wear the singer's shirts, maybe D. Boone will still like me. So that's how I got into flannel. I didn't you know, I grew up in Navy housing. I didn't really know about farmers and lumberjacks. I thought that was his kind of rock and roll shirt. So that's how I got into wearing it. I was like 12, you know.
Yeah.
But I stuck with it. They do, I will say, they hide, you know, when you're, my pop used to say, boy, if you're not wearing it, you're not enjoying it. Because, so chow, flannels kind of hide chow that falls under your shirt easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than those white ones. All white. Because I used to scrub pots and pans at a hospital in white uniform. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to look good at the end of the day.
It's not. So, were you driving him or were you, he was driving you?
Yeah, he was driving.
Okay. But I've always thought about one-man bands and touring, you know. It's so easy in some ways.
Yeah.
You don't have
to
deal with personalities. But then with your pop.
Yeah, that's rough.
Now, was he, yeah, because what about when it came to, like, the musical direction? Were you in charge?
Yeah, I would say. I'm pretty bossy, so.
Yeah, okay. Even with your own pop.
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's happening. And kind of also kind of safe. You got your pop with you. You don't talk about a bodyguard.
Yeah, it helped.
Kind of cool. Okay, where do you evolve from there?
I guess when I was about 19, I started wanting to do something a little more interesting and, I don't know if sophisticated is the right word, but more rock and roll. And
okay.
I just started putting together a band. And
you get a bass player.
Yeah. I did get a bass player. I got an upright bass player.
Oh, wow.
So
those are difficult. They
yeah,
take up a little room in the boat, too.
Yeah, but
yeah, you know, that's how Leo Fender came and invented the bass guitar, because mm-hmm. they didn't have vans. They were touring station wagons, so they had to strap those things to the roof. Can you imagine?
That's what we still do.
Why would you do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
We've made jokes about it for years.
There's these kind of upright basses that don't have bodies.
Yeah, there's a kind that fold up.
Yeah, that has just a neck and maybe a metal thing you lean into.
Yeah.
Because they're electric with a pickup. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a weird instrument. That thing's gotten so many holes punched into it from stupid tour experiences, but.
Oh, wow.
We've kind of upgraded to mostly playing electric bass at this point in the band.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they are a little more natural. But, you know, there's no sound like an upright. It just has its own thing. I tried it for a while. It was too difficult. You got to hold your hands different.
Yeah, it's not
easy. You
can't
be sideways. You got to be up and down.
It's bigger than me, too. I've tried.
Yeah. You know, on the U.S. one, we're 3/4. The Europe ones are even bigger.
Yeah.
Ours is a 41-inch scale, and, man, it just killed me. I made one little record with it, but, yeah, I gave it back to the dude who gave it to me.
It's fun, though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, big respect. And especially seeing the guys can work those, even in old age, amazing.
Yeah.
For example, Petra's father, Charlie Hayden, I mean, playing all the way for his life, you know. It was mm-hmm. inspiring like that. But how his hands kept together. I always worry about my hands.
Yeah.
Because you lose them, wow.
Yeah, you're done.
What the phone it is. We're at the end of the first hour of August. Oh, no, not September now. What? September 6th,
yeah.
2016. Dish of Wap, Pedro Show, special guest, Lydia Loveless. Hold tight for hour two. September 6th, 2016. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
dream. The night played softly around you, and I know a place that nobody knows. I had a dream. We danced the river forever, and you were singing as you were lying out in the snow. The whole world needs to know the way that east wind blows. It rises on the sea and finds its way to me. 'Cause I had a dream. The time passed slowly between us. The night surrendered. Yeah. Another day, the whole world needs to know the way that east wind blows. It rises on the sea, it finds its way. We blessed the sunlight together, and all the people made their silver with hearts of gold. I had a dream.
Inside your head, you'll find cheating on me with depression. I've seen her evil way, and I know her deception and ability to linger on and stultify one's mind. Insidious is her occupation. I never saw a craft so finely honed, but her mystifying aptitude can quickly become tight and overwhelming. Why won't you leave her tomorrow? I'll give her one last night to have her way. But I miss you and I love you, and when you come back, I'll know just what to say.
She's pretty in the photograph, the photograph, the photograph. She's pretty in the photograph. She's smiling in the photograph, the photograph, the photograph. Smiling in the photograph. She's the girl in winter's clothes.
She's a girl of summer, winter's the most. She's a girl of summer. days, independent of what they say. You might as well have sung the sweet admission of effort. You would have got to stay in the car. You would have got to stay in the car. You would have got to stay in the car. And it's about me. At all. It wasn't even annoyance, it wasn't even.
Watt from Pedro Show. We started the second hour off with Lydia Lovelace doing Real. Tell us about that.
Real is, it's kind of about my lack of the Lord of the Flies experience as a kid, where I don't know, I was always kind of reading these dumb romance novels and hoping for some cool boy to move to my shitball hillbilly town and sort of be my rock and roll boyfriend. So it's kind of about my romance fantasy as a kid.
Wow. Real. But then you call it real.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yes.
Okay. And then brand new from Bloodshot, you put your new records on, Dex Ron Weber. He had this band called Flat Duo Jets that I really liked. Drummer man named one. Crow. Yeah, only one name, Crow.
Crow.
Yeah. And actually, one of the first bands without a bass, you know, this thing where you just do guitar and drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes way back. And brand new, I Had a Dream. Then a song from Das Kind C4. Depression from Marshmead after that, brand new. Redone tune, though, I think. Space, brand new. She's the Girl Summer Misses the Most. King Champion Sound, new album, Point Blank, tune. Schizophonics, with their new 45, Put Your Weight on It. And finally, Stefano Pellea, his new solo album. He's one of the Fratellian of Sayonara Marinaio. Stand Behind the Man Behind the Wire. Here with Lydia Lovelace and her journey through music. So now you put together the band.
Yeah. And that took a while.
It took a while. Right chemistry, right people. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some duds.
Some had to get tossed, get the scissors.
Yes.
Say hello to the curb. You know, the gentle grab them by the hair and knee to the forehead.
Okay. Yes.
So... but then you settle on a stable thing. Like, you want to discuss, say their names, who's in the band?
Yeah, I think at like 20 I started playing with, I was playing with Ben Lamb on bass, and Todd May came in as the guitar player and extra vocals. And at that point it was still my dad on drums too.
What's your pop's name?
His name is Parker.
Parker, all right. There's a Steely Dan song, Colonel Parker's Band. I think
yeah.
You're talking about Charlie Parker. You know about the Dan.
Sadly.
Yeah, I know. George Hurley, you know, and the Minutemen, I had to listen to the boat. And they were like two albums of cassette, so we get both barrels at a time, me and Deep Blue. So we know the first six Dan albums, you know, front to back.
Oh, God.
I remember Colonel Parker's Band. Okay, was it Colonel Parker? No. Mr. Parker's. Colonel Parker was the guy who stole all Elvis Presley's money. Not his real name, I think.
So many facts.
Colonel Tom, yeah. I don't know. I don't know much, so don't quote me. So now, yeah, what's the mission of the band? Now, going to the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, I was, you know, because my first record had been kind of with a studio band that I didn't really know any of the guys.
Right, the bad producer experience.
Yeah, and this time I had, you know, a producer that I kind of knew better from, I worked with him in Carson Drew a little bit. And,
more copacetic.
Yeah, and, you know, just having my own band and being a more experienced songwriter.
Yeah.
Much better experience.
You could grab your hand on the rudder.
Yeah, I think I felt a little more confident that time around. So... we started making this record, Indestructible Machine.
That's a name.
Yeah. And that actually ended up, while we were recording that, getting picked up by Bloodshot Records.
Right.
Who I still work with them, so.
Yeah, I'm going to play this tune, Heaven. What can you tell me about that?
Well, Heaven is probably my most produced song ever. It's...
what kind of song?
It's probably my most produced song
ever.
Oh,
okay. Mersh?
Yeah.
For a lame word. Sorry.
But, yeah, it's...
Did it start off that way when you wrote it? No, it was just a tune, right?
Yeah, I heard it in a dream, actually, so it was kind of big in my head, and then, you know, trying to write it was pretty difficult, because I don't normally put together songs...
From dreams.
...that big, or from dreams, yeah. They're mostly
so to bring it into the reality was a task.
Yeah, it was tough.
Okay, let's listen.
It's alright, there's no
Watford Pedro show. We heard the most produced Lydia Loveless song ever, Heaven. She yanked out of the dream world and brought forth to bring the good time. Then we heard Erotic Bill Young and his Heretics. I think this bass man, Stanislav, sent me this, a cat from Cleveland, near you. But he's originally from the old Yugoslavia. He's got a buddy who plays bass from where most of the Slavs here in Pedro are from, the island called Vis. So that's his new band, and a tune called No Man. It's like Temple after that, No Recall. Chris Schlarb from Strong Beach. Layman, No Harm. Toys of Kill, they're just back from tour. And next week we're going to have them on. SDRTTGO. So kind of an acronym. And finally, David Gerard, brand new, out of Massachusetts, with Requiem for an Amplified Trombone. Back with Lydia Loveless and her journey. So, second time in, yeah. And so you're a lot happier with the how it came out.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was sort of getting away from, really simplistic sort of learning how to write songs, songwriting at that point. And I was a lot happier. Like, working with Todd, my guitar player,
yeah,
was a little more fun, too, for me.
What about the touring? Does the touring get bigger?
A little bit at that point. I mean, I was still kind of doing everything on my own and trying to just, like, make connections. So It was a little bit rough. But, I mean, I think I went on my first, like, tour all the way out to the West Coast. It was, like, May of 2010, I think. So I was finally, like, actually getting out to the other side of the country and
across the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
What would you think? What was it like?
It was amazing for me. I mean, it was just me and my bass player, my husband at the time, in the van. So we were just kind of like sleeping in the van and eating sandwiches and fucking looking at mountains.
Yeah, new world. Yeah, because up to then it's just images on a television or in songs on the radio or something, right?
Yeah, I wasn't exactly, much of a traveler or like going on family vacations when I was a kid, so it was my
So touring was also a kind of education, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, There's something about that. I mean, I guess if you just conk out or read a book and don't look out the window, you don't learn much.
Yeah.
But there sure is a lot of opportunity on that.
Totally.
What about the other side, New York City and that stuff?
Yeah, I was doing that a lot. I think we were going to...
Because, Ohio's a lot... They say Midwest, but in a way, it's way closer to the East.
Yeah, it is. And it's... I mean, you can pretty much get... I won't say anywhere, but to a lot of important markets within, like, 8 hours. So,
yeah,
we
sure,
were going
sure
to New York a lot and spending, like, a week there and doing shows there.
Which, for us, that's either Phoenix or San Francisco.
Yeah, not easy.
It's a lot more spread out here. So I always envied out there. So going west, though, was a big deal. Okay, great. I'm glad to hear that, because sometimes you hear a little attitude.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. I like everywhere, actually. But
yeah,
what's different, I found, is the weather.
Yes, that makes
sense. People are people, but the weather. And we're about 250,000% spoiled here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, it was also kind of weird to see how many people were coming to see us, too, out there. Like, the first time we ever played in San Francisco, we had, like, almost a sold-out show, and there was, like, no reason for that to be a thing.
Well, they're checking out your music. They must see how you... Maybe they were listening to it, and they must see how you did it live.
Yeah, must have been.
Do you remember the pad?
Hotel Utah?
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
Mission. That area. Yeah. Ness Klein used to play there a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been to the bottom of the hill? I just was there.
Yeah.
Ramona.
Yeah,
that's got one of the few lady bosses in this racket.
Yeah.
Great pad. So, what about Chicago, though? Cause it seems with the Midwest, the big town actually is... And I know that's where Bloodshot is. So, did you start playing up there regularly?
Yeah, and like we play at the Hideout a lot. We started playing like Shubas and
Shubas I like a lot.
But we do well there, and it's always a good crowd.
Not too far of a drive for you.
No, it's like 6 hours.
Wow, closer than San Francisco.
Yeah.
I envy.
A little bit.
I know me and D-Boom, we used to look at the maps, you know, the Rand McNally book, you know, from the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Well, what if we moved here? Oh, yeah, but then there's 9 months of hell weather. Either too sweaty or too frozen. So, life's about trade-offs and stuff.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour of the September 6, 2016 edition of the Watford Peters Show. Special guest, Lydia Lovelace. Hold tight for hour three. September 6, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watford Peters Show.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh.
Watt for Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with Lydia Loveless doing Bell Bell. I mean, off the air, people, we were talking about the town in the Bass part of what people call Spain.
Yeah. And some ignorant folks.
But so you got to do some European touring.
Yeah, I've done a few now.
Yeah, great.
So it's always...
Isn't
totally
it different?
Overwhelming.
It's a little bit different, huh?
Yeah. It's, I mean,
but
it's
I think
really
it's
exciting.
Great, again, another education experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I would not be the kind of person that just went to Europe a couple times a year, so
yeah.
That's a lucky
it's because of your work.
Break.
Yeah, same with
yeah.
me. Then we heard Dick Deluxe doing Last Time Buddy Holly Crossed, Death Hymn Number 9. It's got Paul from Pedro. Train Yard Boogie. Beelzefuzz, brand new, The Righteous Bloom, Adam Mouth Gimli's with Below, and finally Yoko Ono with Kim Gordon, Thurston Moore doing Let's Get There, Part 1. Tell me about this new record that I've been playing this music for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started...
Real.
Real. Or as I've been joking, it's called Real. But
Pete Townsend and right, that became Tommy and shit. Right, that's like the first beginnings of Tommy Real. Yeah, and I think it's the hero in Peter Gabriel of the Genesis. Ethan.
Oh yeah.
The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. I saw that, believe it or not, when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Oh wow.
So okay. Tell us about this record.
Yeah, I think we finished it like a year ago. So it's been done for a while. But I started sort of writing for it on tour for our last record, which was somewhere else, which was different for me because I used to be so focused on like, oh, I need to get home and sit in my office and write or whatever. So it's a little bit different.
To write on the road, yeah, very different for me.
Yeah, a little more travel diary oriented, which is.
Do you got George on the drums by this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's George. And yeah, it was cool to make this record because I mean, there were so many problems with our previous drummer in the studio and fighting, and this one was really good because.
Oh, you mean there's a drummer between George and your pop?
Yeah, okay. There was.
Fighting in the studio usually is not that happy.
Where
is Sonic Lounge?
It's in Columbus,
okay.
A little outside of Columbus.
Okay, so you're still, okay, still
yeah.
kind of local. Great.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's just a great studio to walk into for me, so I kind of just wanted to keep the vibe going with that.
And you had all the tunes written from the tour, but where they worked out, you still had to work them out in the studio, right?
Yeah, we actually started working them out. This was the most time off we'd had.
Oh, so in the practice
couple months. So we actually got to do it at the practice place, and that was great. Like, we did more pre-production on this one than I've ever done. So by the time we got in, we were like, let's do some demos and see where it goes. And then I was like, well,
demos.
Great.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
So I just decided to keep all the demos as the record.
Yeah.
That's interesting in that sense.
Is that a hat? Are you wearing a hat?
Me?
On the cover.
Oh, yeah.
Is like it a fez?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Dan song called The Fez.
Oh, God.
Getting back to the Dan. I think the chorus is, I ain't going to do it without my fez on.
Oh, man. I'm sensing a theme here. The Dan.
What about this tune, Same to You?
Yeah, Same to You is actually, speaking of being a road record, it was kind of from just being burned out on tour at that point, and, you know, you start to fight, and you really don't want to do it anymore, and you're like, maybe I should just go to school and fucking figure out how to fix cars or something worthwhile. So that was my song about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. Life Definer. Let's listen.
You're mad. I'll have to tell.
last music for this edition, people. Lydia Loveless with Same to You. Then Matt Jones with Part 2B of Massachusetts Classical. Wild Style Lion after that, Miserable Day. Well Vet, Tonal Nostalgia. The Zigzags with Can't Afford the Basics. And finally, Misfit Serenade by Tokyo Savannah. They're out of Brazil. Back to Lydia Loveless' story of music. Now, this record came out and you've been touring it, right?
Yeah, I've been a little bit. We've mostly been off, though, this year, and I'm actually leaving for tour on Friday for, like, the next 3 months. That'll be the
and
first
it's going to be mostly this stuff, this new material.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is the tour?
It'll be forever, but the first leg is like 3 months.
I thought you said 3 months.
3 months, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a Black Flag tour. Those cats would do 3-4 months in a row.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be gone for like most of September and then most of October. And
what about the voice? Is that hard?
That's a concern, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, cause you know the old vaudeville thing, when you ain't playing, you're paying.
Yeah.
So you don't want a lot of days off, but on the other hand,
no.
The voice is different than hands.
Yeah,
you don't. You can't get calluses on your vocal cords.
No, you don't want that. And it's not like I'm doing my vocal warm-ups. And, yeah, I've been trying to take it more seriously, so.
What about tea, the throat coat tea?
Yeah, I do the throat coat pretty religiously.
Slippery L.
I'm also working on not talking as much, like, in between.
I think talking's harder because you don't use your chest. At least when you sing, you use your chest. You don't
talk. Yeah, you're projecting from somewhere deeper. But, you know, I also, like, go on a lot of rants, so I should probably cut back on that. Like, I'm pretty easily set off and start yakking, but I've been trying to cut back on that, especially because I just got in a car accident. I got whacked with an airbag in the throat.
Oh, damn.
So I was kind of, like, Googling old airbags, like, oh my god, I permanently damaged my vocal cords, I have no career.
Wow.
Crazy
shit. Can you feel it when you sing?
Yeah, it's coming back though, so
okay.
I think I was just Googling myself into a nervous breakdown.
Oh yeah. One time I worked for this old lawyer, Mr. Hanley, and he said, Mr. Watt, sometimes a little bit of knowledge is much more dangerous than being ignorant.
Famous I definitely felt that way for a while.
Okay. Well, I hope it comes back. And so I blew my voice out last week from yammer. We call it yammer. I think
yammering.
I got it from Popeye. Didn't he yammer? Or I am what I am. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But I was yammering until a little bit of whiskey was helping me. But it was like, yeah, 5-6 hours, and I lost it.
Yeah.
And then I was so frustrated with myself that I let the band down. That I started lashing out at my guys like an idiot. And they're big longshoremen. No. Luckily, they're beautiful and they forgave me. But, man, it's like I was saying, you can get calluses on the hands, but you can't. The voice, man, it's just so hard.
Yeah, I mean, your hands need to get a little wrecked.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if your voice do, you just can't express yourself. You try and it don't happen. Nothing comes out.
Yeah, it's a terrible feeling, yeah.
Do you have any advice for anybody getting into this racket?
Oh, God. That's a good question. I always think that I have all these answers to things, but it sounds really dumb to say, you know, be confident in yourself. But, I mean, I guess just know why you are doing it, you know? I know so many people that are like, I want to do this so that I can have the success, or like, I know so many people who have like started writing songs and been like, will you do this song? And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, then I guess I give up. No one will hear it. And I'm like, you know, that's not really a good reason to do such a stupid thing, you know? Because really at the end of the day, you do feel stupid, like 90% of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's something to be said about humility.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also great.
But you want to, you're also saying have some confidence. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have confidence or you'll just be like, God, who am I?
No, I take that to heart. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I wish you all the luck with this hell tour coming up, hell
thank
ride.
You.
I know you can make it, and hopefully your voice it gets back, rebounds.
Yeah.
Throat coat.
Hope so.
Thank you so much, truly, Lydia. Good journey. Good mission.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Okay. It's been the September 6, 2016 edition of the Wild Peter Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.